Eagle FM.
On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Then the eye.
Good afternoon, Namibia. You are tuned in to On The Radar, your midday news pulse, cutting through the noise and bringing you the stories that shape our lives. I'm your host, Nafa Happy Juju, and I'll be keeping you company all the way until 14:30 with the latest headlines, sharp insights, and voices from the ground. Today is Wednesday, the 29th of May, 2025, and we are diving into a hot topic on the national agenda. Namibia's move to scale back on certain fresh produce imports starting next month. That's right, only 11 out of 20 specially controlled items will be eligible for import in June as local farmers rise to meet the demand for the other nine. A bold step? Or too soon? We are asking the important questions. Is it a real turning point for Namibia's food security? What support do farmers still need to consistently meet local demand? And what does this mean for prices, consumers, and long-term sustainability? We'll unpack all this and more. Plus, we've got your usual roundup of politics, society, culture, and economic news lined up just for you. And remember, On The Radar is all about you too. Got thoughts? Give us a ring on 083-288-401. Whether it's a take, a tip, or just a shout out to your loved ones, we are all ears. Don't go anywhere. On The Radar starts now. Let's get right into it. Starting in June 2025, importers of specially controlled fresh produce in Namibia will only be allowed to bring in 11 out of 20 designated items, as local farmers are expected to meet the national demand for the remaining nine. This announcement was made by Chief Executive Officer of the Namibia Agronomic Board, that is Fidelis Mwazi. The move forms part of the country's ongoing efforts to strengthen food security and support domestic agriculture through the market share promotion scheme. Under the scheme, importers must source at least 47% of their horticulture products from local producers before qualifying for import permits. This initiative ensures that when our farmers are able to supply quality produce in sufficient quantities, they're given the market access they deserve, said Mwanzi. He noted that the MSP, also known as market share promotion, has played a pivotal role in boosting local food production, with Namibia's self-sufficiency level reaching 55% in the 2022-2023 financial year. Although the policy has received praise for empowering Namibian farmers and reducing dependency on imports, it has also drawn criticism from some stakeholders concerned about rising prices and inconsistent quality of local produce. There have also been calls for improved labouring standards to meet consumer expectations. The Namibia Agronomic Board has reassured the public that it will continue to assess production data and market needs monthly, adjusting import regulations accordingly to maintain a fair balance between supporting local agriculture and ensuring food affordability for all Namibians. Let's now speak to Lezeli Mwilima, who is the Public Relations Officer at the Namibia Agronomic Board, on the rationale behind this restriction and what those nine fresh produce are. Good afternoon, Lezeli Mwilima, and welcome to On The Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, Happy. Thank you for having me.
So I understand that the Namibia Agronomic Board has put a restriction of nine imports or nine fresh produce for the month of June 2025. Now, what is the rationale behind the restriction of this nine fresh produce items, and what are those nine items?
All right. So the restriction is based on sufficient local production of the nine specified crops, which are mainly spinach, lettuce, round tomatoes, sweet potato, pumpkin, onion, green pepper, cabbage, and butternut. So we also expect that some of these fresh produce will, there'll be an overproduction of some of them. So this measure ensures that local produce is prioritized in the domestic market.
How does the Namibia Agronomic Board determine which products will be restricted from import each month?
Okay, so the NAB collaborates with producer associations, regional agricultural offices, and also the individual farmers to gather and verify monthly production forecasts. So based on this data, alongside market demand and historical supply trends, the NAB determines whether local supply can meet national consumption needs. If so, imports are temporarily restricted to protect local producers and to stimulate the domestic market.
Yeah. Could you just explain to us how market share promotion scheme works and how it benefits Namibian farmers?
The market share promotion scheme is implemented by the Namibian Agronomic Board and is designed to promote the sale of locally grown fresh produce. Under the scheme, traders and retailers must source at least 47% of their quarterly fresh produce turnover from local producers before qualifying for import permits. This guarantees market access for Namibian farmers and it encourages increased production. It obviously supports job creation and it contributes to the overall national economic growth.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, are local farmers fully prepared to meet the demand for the 9 restricted crops this June? And what measures are in place to ensure that the quality and quantity of locally grown produce meets market demands or market needs?
Yes, local farmers are adequately prepared for the June harvest with production guided by strategic planning and coordination facilitated by the NAB and its stakeholders. Regular forecasting and field assessments are conducted to ensure sufficient volumes. And in terms of quality, the NAB has developed and disseminated marketing standards for selected crops, which are used by market agents and buyers to assess compliance. The market largely enforces these standards at the point of sale.
Okay. How is the NAB supporting farmers to expand their capacity and improve production standards?
NAB places strong emphasis on training and capacity building for farmers through regular workshops or technical field support and knowledge sharing platforms. The NAB promotes research and innovation by partnering with academic and research institutions to improve crop productivity and resilience. We also ensure that the dissemination of timely market intelligence and production guidelines to help farmers make informed decisions throughout the production cycle. This approach equips farmers with the skills, the knowledge, and the tools needed to enhance quality and increase yields and meet market standards.
Now, some consumers are concerned about the potential increase in prices. How does the NAB plan to balance supporting local agriculture while also maintaining fair market competition?
Fresh produce prices in Namibia are benchmarked against import parity with the South African fresh produce market.
Yeah.
During the import restriction periods, producers are not permitted to exceed prevailing market prices, thus preventing price inflation. This approach ensures consumer protection while promoting local production.
Okay. Now, Namibia recently reached 55% food self-sufficiency. What are NAB's targets for the next 5 years or the next few years?
Namibia achieved 55% food self-sufficiency in 2023. This was largely driven by the increased maize production in that year.
Yeah.
Which covered nearly half of the national demand. So the target over the next few years is to raise food self-sufficiency to at least 60% across both agronomy and horticulture crops. And to achieve this, the NAB is implementing a crop value chain development strategy and prioritizing investment in irrigated agriculture to mitigate the effects of drought on local production.
Okay. Now, Leslie, before I do let you go, what advice would you give to local farmers in terms of food produce and driving Namibia towards food security?
Well, all I can say to our farmers is that they need to just continue doing what they're doing. We see their efforts and we are grateful that they keep pushing and driving local production and increasing food self-sufficiency in Namibia. And yes, they need to take advantage of every opportunity that comes their way to basically boost the industry. And yeah.
Okay. Ms. Ellie, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
Thank you. Happy for having me. And yeah.
Okay. Is Namibia taking the right steps toward long-term food security? What more can be done to empower farmers to boost their fresh produce and meet local demand consistently? Well, to unpack this, we speak to Johannes Nakambo, a local agribusiness professional who shares insights from the ground. Good afternoon, Johannes Nakambo, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, Juju.
The Namibia Agronomic Board has imposed restriction on 9 fresh produce for the month of June. So, from your opinion, what does the restriction on importing 9 fresh produce items mean for Namibia's food security?
No. The import ban just shows that Namibia is moving in the right direction in terms of food security in the country. As you can see, post-COVID or before COVID, we had a import problem from South Africa.
Yeah.
But it shows that Namibia is now growing into a production hub for vegetables and horticulture products. So it shows that Namibian farmers are taking up the arms of being food produce in the country.
Mm-hmm. And do you think local farmers are ready and equipped to consistently feed the nation if import restrictions become more frequent?
I think so, because they're consuming up the local produce would be the way to go, and just encouraging the farmers that they need to produce more for the country as a whole.
Yeah. Now, in your view, how can farmers contribute to making Namibia more food secure in the long term?
Now, in the long term, I think it's a bit of a vague question, because we can't just rely on the farmers. We need government interventions such as this. We need a hub of research when it comes to agriculture that can empower the farmers themselves. Because if we only rely on the farmers, then there's a huge gap that the farmers can't fill, especially in terms of research, technology, and equipment. So if the government and the private sector itself can also involve just to help the farmers, then I think food security could be top priority, and the farmers in the country can actually produce enough food for the country.
Apart from a hub that you speak about, what kind of other government or private sector intervention or support do you think that farmers need in order to produce enough and ensure that national food stability is at the core?
From my personal view, I feel like we need to equip farmers with technology, because using a means of technology helps farmers produce efficiently without wasting resources.
Mm-hmm.
And with technology, it makes it easier to preserve food. And with technology, it still comes back to research, the proper research that farmers need just to equip them for food, for better food production.
Yeah. Okay. And do you think young people are interested in farming? And if not, what could be done to boost their interest in farming? And could they perhaps help scale up local production to boost food security?
I think there's a tendency where young people are trying to engage into agriculture, not just because of the high unemployment rate, but there's still a need to make agriculture attractive in Namibia as a whole, because most people, there's a misconception that agriculture is for the less educated people and all that. So if we try to make agriculture attractive and let younger people come into it, I think there's a huge potential.
Yeah. What further insights can you share with us in regards to this?
The insights that I can further share is that in Namibia, we have a huge potential in agriculture. We just need to find ways that works best for us. We're very hot arid country, and we make excuse of that, but actually agriculture doesn't require much of water, as the narrative is always pushed. Mm-hmm. We just need to have innovative ways and also force urban agriculture in cities and rural areas just to produce food.
Mm-hmm. Now, advice to those who actually want to venture into farming, especially the young people, what common mistakes do farmers normally make and what are those things that you would say they should avoid when they are starting off?
I know, basically, okay, as a farmer, talking from experiences, we want to scale up at a very fast rate.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to take things slowly. And I think if we take things slowly, step by step, brick by brick, I think we'll do well.
Yeah.
We'll do well. We just need to be well equipped, well knowledgeable in whatever we get into, either livestock production or crop production.
Okay. Chanes Nakambo, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. As Namibia takes bold steps toward reducing its dependency on food imports and strengthening its local agricultural sector, important questions remain about how close the country truly is to achieving long-term food security. Now, to get expert insight, we've further reached out to Jacob Mutota, an experienced agronomist and farmer, to weigh in on the current state of affairs. Good afternoon, Jacob Mutota, and welcome to On The Reader News Bulletin.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Now, the Namibia Agronomic Board has imposed restriction on food produce or nine food produce for the month of June 2025. Would you say, is Namibia laying the right foundation for long-term food sufficiency, or perhaps are we moving too slowly?
Thank you for the question. NAB is doing a great thing by mm-hmm. putting those restrictions in terms of vegetable production. And this is to be done in a good intentions of protecting farmers, local farmers, so that their produce doesn't go to waste.
Yeah.
And it really helps these small-scale farmers to sell off their produce in the times when there is a vast production in the country. Looking at the season right now, everyone has tomatoes. And as we approach mm-hmm. winter, tomatoes is not a crop that do well in winter. So farmers will be stranded with tomatoes in their shelves or in their fields without buyers. So NAB to put this kind of restrictions, looking at the production ratio in the country or the production capacity in the country at that moment, it's really a great thing. However, I would say we are not doing as much as we're supposed to do as farmers. We still have other 11 crops or other 11 vegetables that has to be imported still from other countries.
Yeah.
So, to answer your question, we are moving slowly, but we are surely moving there.
Do you think local farmers have what it takes to meet local demand or local supply?
Yes, I think and I believe they do. Because what happens is NAB gives these orders or this restriction orders depending on how much they sow. They have farmers that are registered that this season I have this much of the land, I will probably produce this much tons of this. So they look into that information they get from farmers, the registered farmers, and then they put the restrictions. However, there are other farmers that are farming elsewhere that are not registered. The person is probably having a hectare or 2 hectares of tomatoes that can give, let's say, 80 tons of tomatoes. And it's not known by Namibia Agronomic Board.
Mm.
So this means we have a lot of products that are there, that are out there, struggling to sell, to be sold in the market, but because they are not registered, they are not appearing anywhere in the system. So even this 11 vegetables that are not restricted,
yeah.
We probably have some of them around that don't have customers or don't have buyers. So the capacity of farmers right now, I would say yes, we can produce enough. We can cater for that. And it's just a short period of time. I suspect they are just looking at this winter period and how much crops that were produced in this time frame. So I would say we have that capacity and we can feed the whole nation within this period of time. And just remember, we have a lot of farmers all over. Those that I said they were not registered and NAB doesn't know. So imagine now you have something that you know you have these numbers that you know, but there is another number that is probably equivalent to what you have.
Yeah.
That is there out there. So the capacity is there.
Okay. Now, how can access to affordable farming equipment and technology improve local food production?
Modern technology is a way to go.
Yeah.
Modern technology is a way to go. And it also helps improve production in any industry. When it comes to agriculture, we are using modern, or people are now moving to modern equipment or modern technology. And they are moving away from that the old machinery that we have been using. And this one now helps a farmer to say, instead of just producing on a 1 hectare, that few people can do. If you have a tractor that can do that, then you will go 10 hectares instead.
Mm-hmm.
So modern technology is the way to go in agriculture. It's so efficient. It's very much efficient. However, it's quite expensive, but in the long run, it's a very affordable thing, very efficient, and production always keeps going up.
Yeah.
Production always keeps going up. We also have farmers that, you know, when commercial farmers, a farmer can have 30 hectares of land. And you need, suppose for an argument's sake, you need to spray that whole field with the chemicals, and you are currently using knapsack sprays that people carry on your back. It takes a longer time. And by the moment you will finish that whole field, some of the vegetables are damaged by pests. So if you move to a drone that flies overhead your field,
yeah,
it sprays 30 hectares in only 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives you quality produce, and it gives you also nice quantity. Pests will be controlled on time before they damage most of your crops.
Yeah.
So modern agriculture is the way to go. And we only need support as farmers. We even need extension officers, as government officials or government officers that are willing to assist farmers with modern technology. If the government can at least buy drones, and place it in the region that, okay, this region is 2 drones that can be hired by farmers, then that will be great. And we will find ourselves in a situation where we don't have to import any food and border remains closed.
Mm-hmm. Now, are current investment levels in agriculture enough to sustainably grow the sector, or is more funding and infrastructure needed?
It is quite not enough. It's not even half of what we need.
Mm.
We really need a vast investment in agriculture sector. The government, to say, has to pump enough money into agricultural sectors. Because not all of us are having the capacity to produce to the maximum that we can go. I recently watched a video of the Ministry of Agriculture reporting that Iskondo Green Scheme is having maize that are ready for harvest, but we don't have a combined harvester.
Yeah.
So the government needs to pump money into agriculture sector. We equip ourselves with modern technologies, modern machinery, so that we can produce to the capacity that we can. And so that we can also produce to feed the nation. And most of these crops that we do, or most of what we produce, we just produce depending on our capacity. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the farthest we can go. We can do better if we do that. We can do much better if we have support, financial support, and then knowledge support. And also another thing when it comes to marketing, NAB is doing its thing. I'm so thankful that we do that.
We look
at that. That's where we look at now. But what they are doing is not enough. The government has also to enter from its angle, and the likes of AMTA also should enter in this whole operation. Because in most cases we sit with our producers that don't have buyers. Mm. We don't have anywhere to sell. Mm. They rot on the farm. And this is what demoralizes us from producing. It's not that you can't, but we are demoralized because we don't have a market. We don't have a market.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can probably, or we can perhaps have AMTA having a processing plant, tomato processing plant. I'm sorry that I'm using too much tomato. Tomato processing plant. All the tomatoes that are produced in it, even from small-scale farmers, are going there to be processed into tomato paste. That, yeah, we can produce.
Yeah.
But all this are falling under the funds that are coming from, that are being pumped into agricultural sector, either by the government or other private sectors or private investments. We really need much, much.
Indeed. Now, how can the younger generation be encouraged to enter the agribusiness sector and help build a food secure future?
Well, thank you for this question. So the younger generation, all they need to do is to see production going on. They need to be told the truth on the ground.
Yeah.
We cannot have farmers like our farmers that we know. We cannot have farmers that are only putting shorts. You know, farming outfits and driving Land Cruisers without us knowing exactly what is happening on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to see farmers losing farms because they cannot pay for their installments that they should. We really need to educate these people that, no, this is how much one needs and this is how much one can get, or this is how much one can get from farming. So farming is not really just a thing of farming or maybe food production. Like you asked, it's an agribusiness that you can venture into. And you can decently live. You can decently live. You can do whatever you want if you are focused on what you are producing.
Yeah.
So these young people, especially in the GPCs and in universities, they need to be taught the reality of the sector, the situation. They need to be given financial literacy. Well, if a person doesn't understand how much I need to put into this and how much I will get out of it, or how what are the costs, what are the, then people will not be interested.
Yeah.
Most of the people, they only talk about success, that no, this is what I did, this is what I do. They don't also talk about challenges or the failures. So people need to be taught about financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
People need to be taught about all the investments and the financial projections of the farm. Put up a model of at least 20 hectare farm or 20 hectare plot. You need this much per hectare, or you need this much. This is how much you will get out. This is how much you need to buy your chemicals. This is how much you need to buy fertilizer. And this is how much you will walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Given that you have a guaranteed customer, given that you have a market right in front of you.
Okay. Now, Jacob, what lessons can Namibia learn from other African countries that have successfully reduced food import dependency?
Namibia should learn that those countries that are successfully doing this, they have invested so much money into farming.
Mm-hmm.
And they are getting a return from it. We are paying billions of dollars just to import things. But if I refer you to Burkina Faso, what is happening in Burkina Faso right now?
Yeah.
They have nationalized a plant processing factory that is now doing pests. So, tomato pests. So, all these tomatoes that are being produced by local farmers, even from a backyard garden and all this, and they are no market. These people buy it, they process it, and can it. So, they sell tomato paste, canned tomato paste that will last or that has a long shelf life. So Namibia has to learn from this. And if another outbreak comes right now, we will still be stranded with no food, no enough vegetables, because we don't have the capacity to do that. So what they need to do, they should look at how other countries are doing it, but they should also consult farmers that are on the ground. Because if you only have technicians that are in offices, to be honest, they don't know what is on the ground.
Yeah.
They might have this, you know, theoretical knowledge and that, but go on the ground, ask people how to do, to go about it, and just do the right thing. I'm challenging you. If the government can just look into investing in agriculture, you say, let's fund these people, this five group of people, let's keep them the money, and let's restrict them from working for anyone else for 5 years. Let's give them all the machinery they need. These people will make it. And if that happens, all this unutilized land in the vicinity of areas that have underground aquifers full of water just for waste, we can make use of it, and we can at least improve our economy. And I believe, for me, I believe only agriculture can improve our economy. Because if we have our own food, then we will not look into other things as well. Mm-hmm. If we have our own food, if we don't import anything from outside,
yeah,
then we will use this money just for domestic. We will give people, we will employ most of these youngsters that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy will go up.
Okay.
The GDP of the agricultural sector will also increase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Jacob,
And another thing is, agriculture is not like mining. Mining, you need investors from outside.
Mm-hmm.
Indians have failed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Agriculture, you don't need that much. You just need to pump enough money, given the amount of, you know, the area that you have, the number of farms that you have. Run these green schemes that are dilapidating. We put people in charge, hold them accountable. We should get away with this thing of government, you know, you are so negligent, they don't look after things.
Yeah.
We hold people accountable if things are going, and we will produce. I'm telling you, we will produce.
Absolutely. Jacob Mutota, thank you so much for this insights, and we do wish you all the best with your farming business.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I am going back to get busy and just something for you, so you Namibians can have something to eat every day,
okay,
three times a day.
Wonderful. Have any comments or insights you want to share in regards to food security or Namibia moving towards food security? Perhaps you're a farmer yourself, you would want to come in and also share opinions and contributions in regards to the 9 food or food items that have been restricted from import by the Namibia Agronomic Board. Well, our studio number is open. 0832888401 is the number in studio. For now, we pause here, take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly with yet more news. Stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. Namibia held its first official Genocide Remembrance Day on May 28, 2025 at Parliament Gardens in Windhoek, which was led by President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah. During the commemoration, the President of the Republic of Namibia officially declared 28 May Genocide Remembrance Day a permanent public holiday. As of today, Genocide Remembrance Day has officially entered our national calendar, she announced, stating the day is meant to symbolize unity of purpose, inclusivity and national building. In an interview with Eagle FM, former Prime Minister of Namibia, Nas Angula, emphasized the importance of such commemorations in light with rekindling the spirits of those who died for the land, while stating that the events or acts of cruelty on the Namibians started before the 1904 to 1908. Whilst emphasizing the need to keep the youth engaged in historical events by implementing direct and efficient policies in schools that will help the youth know about the sacrifices put in to obtain freedom. Let's take a listen.
Namibia celebrated its first official Remembrance Day on May 28, with the genocide having taken place between 1904 to 1908. My first question is, what is the significance of this day?
Well, yesterday the people of Namibia came together to remember.
Yes.
And commemorate, not celebrate.
Yeah, sorry, sir.
The events which took place during the German colonial period, these events led to the massacres, the dispossession, the killings, and the exiling of some Namibian communities.
Yes.
These were tragic events. Of course, people talk about 1904, 1908, but this event started far back. I think it started far back in actually 1896, when the Germans started to disarm and force the communities in central Namibia to accept their rule through the so-called protection treaties. And we remember the histories and the death of leaders like Nicodemus Kaimimwa and Chief Mubauva and many others. The massacre of the Namahe people at Kron, there near Oshimbingwe there. So this thing started far back. The 1904 and the 1908 were just the culmination of these events. And the Namibia government must be commended for now designating the date for us to remember and commemorate the events of the German colonial period. To remind the Germans that they owe us an apology as a nation. And that apology should be accompanied by compensation for those communities who lost their positions, their loved ones, and who suffered during that time.
Okusena ombanawa kani hauto. Owa pumpa oshimaliwa menderelo. Ndele ouna oshendiso. Ouna anironga ya pumbwa okufutwa. Ashike mboka ina onjodoe otaende kashona. Ngero onkaramunyo tayinyengana. Otukesh oteiningi ompu. Tu etena ohauto e, etokuwa e presendo amirongo le nantano, dongushu yoshiendito shoe. Mure ashike, unintetilo mirongo ne nantano. Inopungwa oka payslip nenge o statement ayombanga. Ohauto yoe ashike. Mona omula, oshimaruwa, ethimbo weshipumba. Tudengera nena, ko, nora hamano ime, ne nora nora, hamano, heari hamano. Ano, ko, nora hamano ime, ne nora nora, hamano, heari hamano. Oshipulera, ko, otokesh.
Let's now resume that conversation between my colleague Joseph Jeremiah and former Prime Minister Nas Angula.
And we remind ourselves of our past, and I think that was commendable for the Namibia government to designate that day as the day of remembrance.
So, Mr. Nas, we usually have people telling us that the youth is the future of Namibia. How do we keep the youth engaged with such matters?
Unfortunately, our history is not properly taught in the schools to remind the young people where we came from and to teach them our history. It's not properly taught there. But the events of yesterday, I thought will rekindle the interest in the history of our people, especially the young people, so that they can keep the memories of their forefathers and their foremothers.
So, Namibia is not the only country to have experienced genocide at the hands of the Germans. We have the Jews as well. Why is it so difficult for the world to recognize the intensity of Namibia's genocide?
Well, looking at what the reports of from other medias, international media yesterday, I think the world does recognize our experiences, this genocide. Mm. The problem is the German people who are living in denial. And even the Germans who live in Namibia, they don't want to hear about it.
Mm.
But I think generally the world does recognize that something terrible happened in Namibia during that time.
Okay. Last and foremost is, should Namibia receive the repatriation monetary from Germany? How can Namibia use the funds to add value to the country's economy?
Pardon? I didn't get your question.
Okay, I was probably fast, so let me start over. Should Namibia receive the repatriation monetary from Germany? How can Namibia use the funds to add value to the country's economy?
Well, Namibia should receive compensation from Germany, and it is up to the Namibia government to decide how to invest that money.
Mm.
The money should basically be invested in the communities which suffered the most.
Mm.
The communities who were dispossessed. Perhaps we have to buy out some of the farmers and resettle the communities on those farms.
Mm. Okay, Seth. Thank you for having me interview you.
And there you had it. We're now going for a commercial break. When we do return, we'll be bringing you what's making headlines in regards to economic indicators.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Ongyo mnangeshifa nwa harapu shigifa oma akuro ya kupitira mohorike radio station aweyo Eagle FM. Enya mkulo olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahi tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mombelewa konorahi tatu natu, mbali ohe tatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Well, today is Thursday, but yesterday was Wednesday, which means that yesterday's edition of the Villager e-paper is still out, and it's back to stories that matter. Here's a quick peek at what's making headlines in Wednesday's e-paper. Border to be closed for 9 vegetable imports in June. Generation of farm workers allocated land. Nandindaitwa's diplomatic SADC tour. Construction sector faces mixed signals. Namibia hosts the World Federation for Democratic Youth General Assembly. Well, to grab your copy so you can get the full scope of the stories and more. Now, while you anticipate for Friday's edition of the e-paper, that's right, that is free news, social and economic news, right at your fingertips, delivered right through your mobile app. All you have to do is send a text message on 081-200-4144. That is 081-200-4144 and never miss an update. And now for some economic indicators. We're starting off with agricultural commodities, and the top commodity for today is rice at 1.28%, palm oil at 1.26%, and cotton at 0.64%. On metal commodities, the top commodity gainers are silver at 1.45%, iron ore at 1.43%, and copper comes in at 0.97%, with gold at 0.36%. The biggest losers on metal commodities are lithium carbonate at minus 0.98%. While on energy commodities, the top commodity gainer is crude oil, WTI at 1.91%, blend crude oil at 1.68%, and gasoline at 1.16%. The biggest loser for the energy commodities, natural gas, UK, GBP, at minus 1.59%. South Africa's PPI inflation stood at 0.5% in April 2025, the lowest in 4 months, unchanged from the previous month. The reading was largely influenced by a deeper decline in prices of coke, petroleum, chemical, rubber, and plastic products at minus 5.5% versus minus 4.1% in March. Prices also continued to fall for paper and printed products at 3.5% versus minus 2.4%, and transport equipment at minus 3.8% versus minus 5.2%. Meanwhile, notable increases were seen for textiles, clothing, and footwear at 6.8% versus 6%, and food products, beverages, and tobacco products at 4.7% versus 4.1%. On a monthly basis, producer prices rose by 0.5% in April, following a 0.6% increase in March. Zambia's annual inflation rate fell to a near one-year low of 15.3% in May 2025, easing from 16.5% in each of the previous 2 months. Food inflation decelerated for the third month to 17.9% from April's 18.7%, as favorable rainfall helped bring down cornmeal and vegetable prices. Non-food inflation also eased, falling to 11.6% from 13.4%. On a monthly basis, consumer prices rose by 0.3% in May, decelerating from a 1% increase in the previous month. Oil rises for the second session. Now, Brent crude oil futures rose over 1% to above $65.5 per barrel on Thursday, supported by U.S. court ruling that blocked many of President Trump's global tariffs, calling them illegal. The decision eased market fears about the impacts of tariffs on global growth and oil demand. While the Trump administration plans to appeal, the move boosted risk appetite across markets. Oil also found support from geopolitical tensions as Liberia's eastern government threatened to halt production after a military stormed the state oil company's headquarters, underscoring risks to supply. Now, despite recent gains, oil prices remain under pressure from concerns over OPEC Plus production increases and the broader impact of Trump's trade policies. OPEC Plus is set to meet Saturday and may approve more supply hikes for July. Italy manufacturing sentiment at 3-month high. Now, the manufacturing confidence index in Italy rose to 86.5 in May 2025 from an upwardly revised 85.8 in the previous month, exceeding market expectations of 86.2. This marked the highest reading since February, as sentiment improved across several key indicators. Now, that's what we had for you today in regards to economic indicators. Remember, our studio line is very much open for you to come through and air your opinions and contributions, or perhaps you have a question to ask. Well, The studio number, or the number in studio, is 083-288-401. For now, we pause here, take a trip to the marketplace, but we're not done yet. We'll be back with news beyond the borders. Stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Any person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Kids, no running! They grow up so fast.
Come here, guys. Who wants to watch their favorite show on GoTV?
Your family's favorite moments are made better with GoTV's shows. We've got loads of local, international, and kids' channels, and all the football you need from the comfort of your home.
You can also watch your favorite shows wherever you are with GoTV Stream. Stick with GoTV and let's go together. GoTV. Love it.
Audio mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma kuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuru olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kono raheta tuimwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa kono raheta tu natu, bali o heta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the
our trusted partner, responded swiftly in a
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. We're starting off regionally, then we move to continental news, then after we bring you international news. We're starting off in South Africa, where calls for last where the finance minister Enoch Godwana remains optimistic that South Africa's candidate at the African Development Bank Group will do exceptionally well.
At the African Development. To the story now, Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana remains optimistic that South Africa's candidate at the African Development Bank Group will do exceptionally well. Godongwana spoke to SABC News on the margins of the bank's annual meetings in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. Pretoria is backing Majabulile Swazi Shabalala to succeed the outgoing AFDB President, Dr. Kinwumi Adesina, whose term is coming to an end. Kailihle Khumalo, alongside video journalist Temba Njoboti, have more.
Certainly, it was a very pivotal moment in Abidjan in Cote d'Ivoire. So it's all about really making sure that the priorities of the continent are being focused upon. Joining us now is Finance Minister Godongwana. Minister, we're just going to guess cracking and start into it. It's been quite a very intensive process, lobbying for your candidate, Ms. Chabalala. Just your impression so far.
No, the campaign is going very well, as all other campaigns. You may think we're doing well, but and only to find that things are bad. But as things stand, we think our campaign is working well.
Minister, obviously a very important time for this institution with the geopolitical instability, all sorts of challenges. And I would imagine that it should be geared up in terms of tackling these challenges facing the African continent. We saw the aid being cut. So obviously really putting this particular continent and other regions in a very precarious position.
Let me say a couple of things. First and foremost is that I was discussing with my Nigerian counterpart now. I'm saying what we want to do is to rebuild this institution to be able and be resilient, to be able to deal with the challenges the African continent face. One of the other challenges the Africa is facing now, overseas development assistance is declining completely. And also the various trade challenges that are emerging as a result of the American position. So what that means is that South Africa has got to look at being self-sufficient, and we need institutions to be able to fund our own development as Africa. And therefore, this institution, amongst others, it has got to work with the national development agencies and so on to attack the level of poverty and infrastructure deficiencies in our economy.
And obviously, Minister, a very, very important time for South Africa. G20 is right here with us. We've seen quite a number of meetings. What are your counterparts in the region saying in sub-Saharan Africa, especially because when you look at South Africa's priorities, overall, these are issues that are pertinent, whether it's climate change, whether issues pertaining to debt, sustainability or artificial intelligence. These are very key issues.
I think the whole of the African continent were agreed on a unified agenda. And in fact, region by region were beginning to take these issues. We are meeting as SADC again after this on the 12th. A key aspect of the fact I was talking to the SADC secretariat, one of our functions as finance ministers is finance and investment. Critical in that debate will be how do we integrate the region in terms of infrastructure development in order to meet the requirements of the African Free Trade Agreement.
And just before we let you go, Minister, do you think Ms. Chabalala is standing a very good chance going back to that hot potato?
I can tell you, if my prediction are correct, there will be an elimination process. There are five candidates. There are going to be an elimination process. I think she's probably going to be amongst the two that are going to be finishing.
And obviously, before we let you go, Minister, you just overcame a biggest hurdle, you know, with your budget. What are your counterparts saying about the sentiments in South Africa? We know that getting those FDIs, it's one of your priorities.
Look, I mean, there's a lot of hullabaloo in South Africa about the budget. If you look at what's happening, particularly in the developing world, the notion of coalition government is standard. Fighting over budget is standard. Even the rating agencies don't care a hoot about that. You will see that Standard & Poor put a positive outlook for South Africa in the midst of that budget debate. So it's not something unique, this issue of wrangling over a budget, as long as finally you are going to emerge with a budget which is fiscal sustainable.
And obviously, Minister, we saw the president in the U.S., a very key trading partner for South Africa. I would imagine that it's quite key to maintain cordial relations with Washington, D.C.
Of course, we've got an interest in maintaining our relationship with all trading partners. That's critical for our economy, particularly the USA is critical for the automobile sector. So it's quite important for us, that relationship with the USA, if we are going to preserve the more than 100,000 jobs that depend on that sector. I think in the last meeting, forget about the theater in the media, the actual meeting behind the scenes, I'm quite confident we managed to reset our relationship.
All right, Minister, thank you so much indeed for your time. Of course, banning the midnight oil here.
Meanwhile, calls for lasting peace in Eastern DRC weighs in.
Relations and Cooperation Minister Ronald Lamola says the continent calls for the implementation of the peace and security framework in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Minister Lamola participated in the 12th high-level meeting of the Regional Oversight Mechanism of Peace, Security and Cooperation Framework for the DRC. The PSC framework is an initiative aimed at addressing the structural causes of instability and recurring cycles of conflict in the Eastern DRC and the Great Lakes region. He says the meeting also discussed the situation in South Sudan and Sudan, where they're calling for cessation of hostilities in both countries.
We continue to call for the implementation of the peace and security framework for the Eastern DRC as a signatory with the countries that are here for the peaceful coexistence of the regional players here in the Great Lakes. So we're here to continue to call for that and for its full implementation. And obviously with new developments, we continue to call for ceasefire, for a peaceful engagement of all the role players, state and non-state actors, and we're glad with the progress that the meeting is making. But this is not only about the DRC, it's also about South Sudan. You also to call for cessation of any challenges in South Sudan for peaceful coexistence and the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement that must take South Sudan to its first democratic elections. And it's also about the Sudan itself, which is the Horn of Africa. And even there, we continue to call for cessation of hostilities and to call for all the parties to engage, to open lines of engagements towards a peaceful dialogue. Obviously, we support the resolutions of the UN with regards to all the external support to cease and to withdraw, and also the M23 to cease its continuous advancement in the Eastern DRC. And we believe that there is a very big role to be played by the PSC of the AU and also the new facilitators that have been appointed by both the SADC and the East Africa Community, and the current president of Togo, who has just been appointed by the African Union to lead the process. We believe that will add impetus, and that is where all the parties should coalesce to find long, durable peace. And that's why we're here, to revitalize it, to help the momentum for its revitalization by all parties to the peace agreement committing to its implementation. The key part is implementation, that all member states must work towards the implementation by not harboring any of the groups, by not supporting them, by supporting peaceful engagements and dialogue, and ensuring that all the parties are brought to the table to engage with the process that is now led by the president of Togo. Obviously, that is a decision of SADC. They were deployed by SADC, and with a time frame, they were not deployed to be permanent. So SADC has deemed it necessary now to withdraw the force. But as South Africa, we remain committed to the peace process in the Eastern DRC through various layers of engagement with the process, in the SADC platform, the SADC and East Africa Community, the PAC, and also through the UN Security Council, will continue to play a role of calling for peace in the Eastern DRC.
Meanwhile, President Hakainde Hichilema of Zambia says that Zambia must produce, not just consume.
Leading by example, over 100 hectares of maize will be harvested from President Hakainde Hichilema's Ibamba Farm maize field in Namwala district. The president was here to check on the harvest, accompanied by the First Lady Mutinda Hichilema, Information and Media Minister Cornelius Mwetwa, among others. Over 2,050 kilogram bags of maize have been harvested so far. President Hichilema said the first family has decided to lead by example in producing enough food and has challenged all leaders, including chiefs, to follow suit in order for the country to produce enough.
With the last season's worst drought in living memory, we decided that instead of just operating this and many of our farms as ranches, we will now add crop, we will add food, maize, and we are irrigating, as you can see from the center pivot. The president has been talking about food security being essential for the country. Rain or no rain, in 3 years' time, we should target to produce enough food through irrigation agriculture. That's what you hear the president talk about, irrigation agriculture, using the soil God gave us, using the water God gave us, but now technology, mechanization, that's what you're seeing here, so that we produce enough food for ourselves.
The president is also encouraging irrigation agriculture and is happy with the effort put in by the workers here.
The workers you see here, these are local people, and all of a sudden they have jobs. On a ranch with few workers, that's the nature of ranching. On the cropping side, we have so many workers. Over 200 new jobs right here. And we are still clearing more fields this side. And when we are done, probably we'll have more than 500 or so workers, if not 700 or so, here. And our priority is that we secure employment of the people in the local areas.
Earlier, when he addressed people upon arrival at the farm, the president reiterated his call on Zambians to work hard to produce surplus food.
We decided as a family that we will add cropping to our ranching site so we can contribute to food security.
Let's pause here now and take a trip to the marketplace, but we'll be back shortly to resume with this particular news item.
It's time for month-end magic at WB. Get a 1 kg jungle oats for only $37.99. 2 times 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $149.99 with Smart Buy. 5 kg nice rice for only $94.99 with Smart Buy. 2.2 kg Surf hand washing powder for $49.99. And a Huggies Dry Comfort Value Pack for only $154.99. See all our month-end specials at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
And we resume.
Also, we took a decision that we will irrigate. The president has been talking about irrigation agriculture, so that with or without rain, in 3 years' time, when we work hard, when we work hard as a country, we'll be able to produce enough food for all our people across the country.
The first family has, from their own resources, donated a 1x3 classroom block to cater for the education needs of the people of Chibunze and Katoshi in Namwala.
Yeah.
The road leading to the farm has also been worked on using funds privately sponsored by the First Family and benefiting the people in Chiwunze and Katoshi as well.
Before we brought this road, this is not a government road. This is a privately sponsored road by the HH family. That's what we did. Here, from January, February, March, you wouldn't go to town from here. Oh, this is a flat plain. Now we have been able to bring the road here. This road, yes, is coming to the farm. It's going to Chiwunze, Katoshi there, even Chitumbi. So it's benefiting the people.
And First Lady Mutin Dahijilema had a word of encouragement for the mothers.
Especially when I Chiwunze.
Still in Zambia, farmers have received livestock feed equipment boost.
They are witnessing the operations of the newly donated equipment for fodder production and hydroponic units in Chirundo district. This is Fisheries and Livestock Minister Peter Kapal and FAO Country Representative Suspes Philippine. These donated items are expected to boost livestock recovery in Chirundo and Namwale districts, thereby offering hope to farmers hit by the 2023-2024 El Nino-induced drought.
The drought we experienced was one of the most severe in Zambia's recent history. Its effects were devastating. Dry pastures, water scarcity, and livestock losses hit our rural communities hard. My ministry, working with other relevant ministries and government agencies, together with our trusted partners, responded swiftly in a bid to address both emergency needs and long-term risks.
FAO has mobilized close to 9 million internal funding to support immediate relief interventions and to strengthen long-term resilience among vulnerable livestock farmers. Although the current 24-25 season has seen improved rainfall, the consequences of last season's drought remain deeply felt in communities here in Chirundo and Namwala and other parts of the country.
And Chirundo District Veterinary Officer Dr. Chisengabupe says over 1,600 cattle died due to starvation in the district triggered by the 2023-2024 El Nino-induced drought.
We were with one of the districts that was heavily hit by the drought. Yes, we lost a number of animals, about 1,600 animals died as a result of starvation and dehydration. So we are delighted and to have these components given to us.
Leo Mulopa is a beneficiary of the donated equipment for fodder production and hydroponic units.
Within 8 days, tumachi da harvest, kupasava kulia kumubuzi, ngombe.
This initiative has been supported by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations in partnership with the United Kingdom Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office. I'm Josampo reporting in Chirundo District, Southern Province.
Tunisia's aging farmer population poses food security challenge.
Is a wheat farmer in the region of Manouba in Tunisia. The 66-year-old agricultural worker teaches ancestral and modern farming techniques to a new generation of farmers. Hassan believes that due to many challenges, it has become difficult to convince young people to choose farming over city life.
There are structural problems which prevent young men and women from becoming farmers. If they want to work in this sector, anywhere in the country, there are no farm roads to access the land or to distribute agricultural produce. Water and electricity are not available. Why would a young person opt for such a hard life?
A recent study has shown that access to land is a fundamental barrier to youth engagement in agriculture. Imen Miseri is a food engineer who's working in the agricultural sector. The young woman says there is room to expand youth interest in farming by securing land rights in the North African region.
As engineers, we are facing a real unemployment problem. Many youths who turn to agriculture view it as a refuge, a necessity rather than a passion and a long-term job. The state must secure youth land rights to encourage us to farm. This could help control rural-urban migration and improve agricultural productivity in rural areas.
Experts explain that young farmers in North Africa face significant obstacles to getting the right amount of funding needed to start and sustain an agricultural business.
The most important challenge facing youth engagement in agricultural development is funding. Funding is almost non-existent. We cannot fund an agricultural project with an 11 to 12% interest rate. In any developed country, which supports farming to achieve food security, interest rates on loans for farmers do not exceed 5%. It is nearly impossible for youths to get loans. The state must step in to offer incentives and provide credit guarantees.
Crop production represents 64% of the total output of the agricultural sector, according to the Tunisian Institute for Strategic Studies. Nevertheless, wheat imports continue in order to provide subsidized bread for the population. In 2023, Tunisia imported $628 million of wheat, becoming the 28th largest importer of wheat out of 195 globally.
Agriculture employs 16% of the active population in Tunisia, with half working in cereal farming. The agricultural sector remains economically and socially important for its contribution to food security and youth employment in North Africa. Adem Shaweshi, CGTN, Tunis.
UN report links ineffective food management systems in Africa to hunger.
Twice a week, Elizabeth Ochieng receives a fresh supply of tomatoes to sell at her stall in a bustling market in Nairobi, Kenya's capital. But business has slowed down and her tomatoes aren't moving like they used to.
Many of my tomatoes have now overripened. I couldn't even afford to take a break. I had to skip church just to come and sell them. If they go bad, I'll suffer big losses.
The rotting excess will be added to the growing mound of garbage that sits near the market entrance. Scientists point out that this kind of waste is contributing to Africa's growing food loss problem.
The Food Waste Index report of 2024 estimates that globally, every day about 1 billion meals go to waste. In Africa, the amount of food wasted is so significant that it is enough to feed a huge section of the continent's hungry population.
The report, produced by the United Nations Environment Programme, implies that the current food production, distribution and consumption systems in Africa are inefficient, leading to losses and waste that prevent food from reaching those who need it the most. In 2023, one in five people in Africa faced hunger, a striking contrast to the global figure of one in 11. Africa Harvest, an organization that deals with streamlining and boosting agricultural production on the continent, says it's looking to tackle the problem on a larger scale.
In Africa, the whole area of food and being food sustainability of food is a big issue. We are already importing worth $50 billion of food across Africa. 8% of that is food loss. 8%, which is almost $4 billion, is food wastage.
Causes of food waste and loss on the continent, they say, include climate change, where conditions such as drought or excessive flooding cause losses to farmers, post-harvest losses due to inadequate infrastructure and inefficient organization of markets for the end product are also cited as causes of large-scale food losses.
So there's ways which the farmers can do, like what I'm saying, organizing the farmers, and how the African governments can do. But I'll say deliberate intention, it had been intentional, it had been invested in, is bringing in the mindset that we are wasting, we are losing on food wastage. The way we are very up about let's reduce, let's increase food production, let us reduce the food wastage.
The UNEP report adds that out of the total waste from food recorded in 2022, 60% occurred at the household level. The researchers suggest that food wastage tends to be lower in rural areas, possibly due to practices like feeding scraps to animals and composing waste for manure. With several areas of loss identified, stakeholders note that there is a need to tailor interventions to the unique causes in order to reduce it effectively in Africa. Each actor, they say, has a role to play toward reducing hunger on the continent. Wilkes Anyabwasi, GTN, Nairobi, Kenya.
Elon Musk officially departed the Trump administration.
It's now official. Elon Musk is leaving his role as a special government employee in the Trump administration, with a White House official confirming to me tonight that he's going to start the offboarding process this evening, which essentially includes paperwork. It's not totally clear what else. But we did see Musk post this on his own website saying, as my scheduled time as a special government employee comes to an end, I'd like to thank President Trump for the opportunity to reduce wasteful spending. The DOGE mission will only strengthen over time as it becomes a way of life throughout government. This is all coming as Musk has recently tried to distance himself from the administration to a degree, including when he criticized the president's big, beautiful bill, something the president was asked about today and essentially shrugged off.
Well, reactions, a lot of things. Number one, we have to get a lot of votes. We can't be cutting. You know, we need to get a lot of support, and we have a lot of support. We will be negotiating that bill, and I'm not happy about certain aspects of it, but I'm thrilled by other aspects of it. That's the way they go. It's very big. It's the big, beautiful bill, but the beautiful is because of all of the things we have.
Here's what Elon Musk had to say about that bill, which the Congressional Budget Office has estimated would add more than $3 trillion to the federal deficit.
I was, like, disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the DOGE team is doing. I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful, but I don't know if it can be both. My personal opinion.
My source on all of this tonight is the veteran tech journalist, Kara Swisher. And Kara, it's great to have you here. What do you make of Elon Musk officially leaving his role that he is tonight?
Wow.
And that has now brought us to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. Do stay tuned for the Voters Education Program brought to you by Bishop Lucas Katende. And also the Home Run Show starts off at 16:30. Now, if you haven't already, make sure that you do download the Eagle FM app and subscribe to our WhatsApp channel so you can receive tri-weekly dose of social and economic news. That is our e-paper, The Villager, out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-4144. Now, from me, Ndafa Happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again tomorrow on yet another episode of On the Radar News Bulletin right here on Eagle FM from 1300 hours up until 1430. Have yourself a blessed day.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be. Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Olio mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station yo Eagle FM. Enya mkulu olongaha. Ningi kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 081-7147-116. Mwamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali ohe tatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? Either a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? with over 600,000 cumulative users around the world. Between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business.